Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. Plus, our shows are available as a podcast on our main webpage, stevejonesshow.com. And also, it's available on iTunes and Google Play. You can listen to us on your Apple Podcast app or through Google Play. So give us a subscription. All right. Of course, it's free. And if you listen to us on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, don't hesitate to leave us a review. All right, we're going to be moving toward full tilt golf and baseball mode with the U.S. Open out in Wisconsin, now less than 48 hours away, so we will get some golf talk going. We were planning on having Jerry Dulac, the golf writer from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, with us today. We will shoot to get him on the show tomorrow. We do have lined up today the new voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins on Root Sports on TV, Steve Mears. He has taken over for Paul Steigerwald. Steige has now taken a position within the Penguins franchise, so we won't see Steige on TV anymore. But Steve Mears is the new voice, and he's also spent some time on NHL Network. So Steve will be with us later in the show. Looking forward to that very much as we bring you another 2 hours from the Sunbury Motor Studio.
Sounds daunting.
That's the tone I used. I apologize.
So, what's next?
Let's see, what is next? Well, we got the Penns Championship Parade tomorrow. You've got the Golden State Championship Parade on Thursday, as well as the U.S. Open, of course.
U.S. Open. Yeah. Aaron Hills. And next year it's at Shinnecock on Long Island.
You got to go to that. You're there. Come on. Absolutely. Especially because then the next two after that are Torrey Pines and back to Pebble.
I think it goes to Wingfoot, then the Pebble, or something like that, or Torrey Pines.
Wingfoot, within the next three, Wingfoot's in there, too.
Yes. Right. They're going east-west here.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Yeah, I gotta go. you know what? You kind of talked me into it. I think we ought to do this show there. That'd be great. All right. The Warriors did win last night. LeBron James was incredible the entire series, just like he's been incredible his entire career. I mean, anytime you make any criticism of his game, in some ways you're nitpicking. Defensively, he got a little out of kilter last night. But, sometimes if you get out of kilter defensively, sometimes it's because somebody else isn't doing something right. Or you're trying to make up for it. So that does happen. So, I mean, I'd have to know the Cavaliers system to know whether he was out of position or not. But he did say something in the post game that was I found to be incredibly curious. About the reporter. But some reporters do not ask good questions. I'm talking some. I didn't mean a great percentage or more than half or whatever. There's some reporters. I'll give you a good example. You see the one the other day about Dave Roberts, Sean, the manager of the Dodgers.
I did not hear about that.
A guy prefaces his question and says, I believe all of your walk-offs have been at home this year.
What's that good? okay.
And Roberts looks at him like,
what's that got to do with anything?
He says, that's the only place it can be. That's why they call it a walk-off. Like, that's what I'm talking about, Sean. You just sit there and go, no, that's not going to work. Well, LeBron got down. Now, this was a really good question. Asking him about the era of the super teams and that he's been a participant in that. And he looked at the reporter. He says, I don't believe in super teams. I've never participated in anything like that. What? What are you talking about?
I've been kind of going back and forth on this super team scenario, if there really is a scenario. I'm watching the game last night. And LeBron is just keeping the Cavs in this thing. And then it's like, you know, then down the other end of the floor, you know, if it's not Durant hitting it, it's Curry or Thompson. It just makes you wonder if it gets to the point if it's an unfair fight. But I think overall, in the end, I think the Warriors are great for the league. But that's been the big burning question the last week or so.
People are watching. Last night's Game 5 rating was a 16 rating, which was incredible. Highest Game 5 rating in the NBA since 1998. By the way, the Penguins' Nashville rating was huge as well. But here's my issue with the super team. To me, you can do a super team if a group of free agents get together, like a couple of them, and agree to join one existing player on another team. Now, at that point, those are the players getting together and they're forming a super team. But you cannot sit there. You know how I feel about simplistic analysis and simplistic points, okay? You've got to be able to delve deeper into something to really understand what it means. So let's take Golden State, right? How was the super team built? Okay, they drafted Stephen Curry with the 7th overall pick. They drafted Klay Thompson with what, the 11th, 12th overall pick, something like that. They drafted Draymond Green in the second round. They signed Andre Iguodala, I believe, as a free agent. Or they traded for Iguodala, whatever. But Iguodala, while being a really, really good player, I mean, do you feel like when you get Andre Iguodala, you're now suddenly getting a top 10 multi-generational player? I mean, they drafted this team until they got Kevin Durant.
I think because of that.
That's the reason. But again, remember, this is the team that was drafted that won in 15.
Yeah. Just because of the fact that they're drafting all the players, then I don't really call that then really a super team. It's like what we've discussed. It's just the real way to build a team.
Just because they were smarter than you and picked the right guys doesn't mean they did not go out and sign Curry as a free agent. They did not sign Klay Thompson as a free agent. They did not sign Draymond Green as a free agent. I mean, they didn't do any of that. I mean, you know, the big center they got. I mean, what? I don't get this. Now the Durant thing is completely different. Now that part I've got. Now that part's different. That was the final piece of the puzzle for a team that's already won a championship. All right. You know, they did sign Iguodala as a free agent. I got that. But again, Iguodala was an all-star with Philadelphia and was on the London Olympic team in 12. But, you know, I mean, he's been a role player with Golden State. I mean, you know, Sean Livingston, another guy, another veteran that they signed. But that's it. I mean, do you think signing Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston makes a lot of waves in a lot of places? They'll make, I mean, Iguodala some. I mean, nobody complained when Al Horford left Atlanta and took the and took the money to go to the Celtics. We'll see how the Chris Paul thing plays out. But Durant is the reason this has come up. It's all about Durant. And when you start talking about Durant, who obviously is a player that transcends, but he joins other transcending players. Curry, Thompson, Green, Iguodala. But again, you know, they drafted Thompson. They drafted Curry. They drafted Green. They did not sit there, and Curry's a 30-point-a-game guy playing for the Utah Jazz, and they sign him as a free agent. Then they go over and they cherry-pick Oklahoma City, and they sign Durant as a free agent. And Klay Thompson is playing for the Portland Trail Blazers, and they sign him as a free agent. And then Draymond Green finally built his reputation as playing for the Dallas Mavericks, and they sign him as a free agent. Now that's building a super team. When you've drafted everybody and added one part through free agency, that's just being smart. Hey, because you're smarter than everybody else and you drafted Curry when a lot of people said he was too small. When you sit there and you draft Klay Thompson when they're not sure his game translates to the NBA. Oh, and by the way, Draymond Green's a second-round pick. I mean, come on. After a while, I sit there and think to myself, everybody says so many simplistic things. Do you think Cleveland acquired Kevin Love in a trade? They drafted Irving. They brought back on a free agent deal LeBron James. They traded for J.R. Smith. You know, they traded for Kyle Korver. They signed Deron Williams as a free agent. They brought in Iman Shumpert, Tristan Thompson. Well, you know, that was their way of building it, too. Each team has been able to bring in one prominent free agent to their unit. Cleveland brought LeBron James in. Golden State brought in Kevin Durant. Each one brought in one prominent free agent. Remember, they traded for Kevin Love. They drafted Irving. Originally, of course, they drafted LeBron. Now he's back, but he had to come back as a free agent. I mean, it turns out that the two players are probably the top two players in the game or the missing pieces for each of the franchises they went to. And did it translate to ratings? The ratings for the finals got off to a very slow start, but then finished very, very strong with a 16. And by the way, the ratings were really good for the Stanley Cup. Now they're not in the same ballpark as the NBA Finals. They're not going to be. It's never like that. But it's also the strongest Stanley Cup final in years. And the ratings were up 19% over last year when it was San Jose and Pittsburgh. That's really good. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
SMC is where you want to be this summer.
It's the Summer Spectacular Sale.
Sunbury Motors Ford is drastically reducing every new Ford in stock during the SMC Summer Spectacular Sale.
SMC is where you want to be
because every new Ford will be clearly marked with savings up to $12,700. Focuses. Choose from over 20 new 2017 Ford Focuses, and they're slashed to as low as $15,930. Sunbury Motors is Central Pennsylvania's Ford truck giant. Pick from four city blocks of new Ford trucks. 2017 Ford F-150s priced from only $24,419. There's 45 of the red-hot selling 2017 Ford Escapes, and they're priced at just $19,380. SMC is where you want to be, because the prices are so low, they're practically giving vehicles away. Wait, they are. Get a 1915 SMC Limited Edition die-cast Model T collectible just for test driving a Ford. While supplies last, Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving Central PA since 1915.
All right, Mike Conti on the show today, who's with the Falcons and Hawks radio network. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA Finals. And we'll also have on the show today Steve Mears, who is now the television play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins. How about that? We'll have him on the show tonight. Great to get him on. He's currently on NHL Network. He's not quite done with his NHL Network commitment, which is fine because he loves working. So, but once he's done with that, then yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great. Patrick Chambers is going to throw out the ceremonial first pitch of the season on Monday night. Very nice. Spikes will start off. And, yeah, championship celebration take place on the 23rd. Get to put up another banner. Banners are nice. They're great. I want to get into something very quickly, and then we'll expand on it a little bit more. And that is the Big Ten is thinking seriously about going to a 20-game basketball schedule. And that's interesting. I think the ACC is going to go to a 20-game conference schedule for the 2019-2020 season. The Big Ten has seen this. Now, the Big 12 cannot do this. The Big 12 only has 10 teams. You can only play 18 conference games. You're already playing everybody home and away. But it would be nice to see that if the Big Ten does it, along with the ACC, it'd be nice to see if the Pac-12 and the SEC did it. Right now, you're playing in the Big Ten 5 home and aways and 8 one plays. I've never liked that. I've never liked that. But with the 14 schools, they've been trying to figure out how do you do this. If you go to 20, that would give you 7 home and aways and 6 one plays. That's better. It also changes your scheduling flexibility. I've talked about football scheduling flexibility often. With 9 conference games, your non-conference flexibility is really thin. Really thin. I mean, there's all sorts of fans who have all these great suggestions. They ought to be playing Pitt and Auburn. They ought to be playing Pitt and USC. You can't do it. You can't do it. Unless you drop other sports, you realistically, financially can't do it. Having 7 home games is part of the financial formula here that allows them to have 31 sports. Now back to basketball. Right now you have 18 conference games, 13 non-conference. So this would make it 20 conference games and 11 non-conference. Now keep in mind you play an ACC game. You're probably, I mean, even though Penn State hasn't been in it for 2 years, you'd be in the Gavitt games against the Big East, so that's 2. You get into these exempt tournaments where you've got 2 games on the site and 2 games at home. That gets you to 6. That leaves you then with the flexibility of scheduling 5 non-conference games. And you can do whatever you want with those 5 games. Also, playing in conference increases your RPI. And I think the experiment you're seeing this season because of the Madison Square Garden situation with the Big Ten tournament being earlier this year, they're going to play two games in December. I think that's a prelude to a 20-game season.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on a scorching hot Tuesday. In a moment, Mike Conti will join us. Falcons and Hawks Radio Network. And then Steve Mears, the new play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's get to it here with our This Day in Sports History segment. And it was on this day in sports history, in 1912, that Christy Mathewson picked up his 300th career win. 1940, the Cubs and the Red Sox became the first teams to play at Cooperstown's Doubleday Field in an exhibition game. The Yankees officially retired Babe Ruth's number 3 and sent it to the Hall of Fame on this date in 1948. It was also Babe Ruth's last appearance in Yankee Stadium. He ended up dying about 2 months later. Also on this day, 1978, the NHL Board of Governors unanimously agreed to the merger of the Cleveland Barons and the Minnesota North Stars. They are now the Dallas Stars. Minnesota has the team, the Minnesota Wild. 1989, the Detroit Pistons won their first NBA title. They beat the Lakers in four games. Detroit now has three titles. 1991, the opening round of the U.S. Open Golf Championship suspended when a spectator was killed when struck by lightning. O.J. Simpson questioned by Los Angeles police concerning the deaths of his ex-wife and her friend Ronald Goldman. 1996, Cal Ripken Jr., the Orioles, tied Sasha Kinagusa's record of 2,215 consecutive games played. Bulls won their fifth championship in 7 years in 1997 on this date. And in 2002, the Detroit Red Wings won their 10th Stanley Cup. After the game, Scotty Bowman announced that he was going to retire. And that is this day in sports history. It is a hot one out there today. I guess you told me the soup did, only left to get food. Staying in the air-conditioned office, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smart deal today.
Oh, he really is. He's a cut above.
Is that on his business card? Cut above?
Should be.
It's digital. Business card.
Yeah. Digital media, I'm a cut above.
What?
Really? All right, let's bring in Mike Conti. You only have Mike for a short period of time here, so let's get to Mike Conti now. Mike, my friend, it's always great to hear you on the other end.
Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. You're around the NBA all the time. I want to start with this. Were you surprised at all that when LeBron was asked after the game about super teams, he said, I've never been on a super team before. Am I missing something?
Well, you know, in the fog of war, maybe you forget certain things. That was a puzzling response because I think LeBron's kind of the guy who started all of this in the modern era of trying to assemble, super teams. But I also think, Steve, quite honestly, there are a lot of people very concerned about there's no parity in the NBA. This is not good for the game that we keep having these Warriors-Cavs finals and right. No one seems to be challenging them in either conference. But I think if you go back to 1980, this is the way the NBA has been. In the 80s, it was the Lakers, Celtics, Philadelphia, Detroit a little bit at the end of that decade. In the 90s, it was Chicago, Houston when Jordan wasn't playing. In the 2000s, it was the Lakers and the Spurs. And then in this decade, it's been the Warriors, the Cavaliers, maybe a little bit of the Spurs. So this is really nothing new. This is a very superstar-dependent league, and right now the Warriors have the superstars, and Cleveland has less superstars, and that's why they ended up losing the NBA Finals. But according to the TV ratings, I mean, there was certainly a lot of interest. It was a very heavily watched NBA Final, and although we did not get a seven-game series, I thought we had enough spurts of competitive basketball to at least keep it somewhat interesting.
You've talked overall. You see this on an everyday basis. When it's not those two teams and it's, quote, the other 28 teams, what kind of competition are you seeing night in and night out?
Yeah. Well, I think you have a lot of parity outside of the Cleveland, Golden State, San Antonio group. Night in, night out, Memphis is a team that never really threatens for a title, but they're competitive and fun to watch.
Right.
Atlanta, the team I cover every night, they're competitive every night and fun to watch, in my opinion. The Boston Celtics are an example of a team that's a lot of fun to watch, that plays team basketball, doesn't really have a superstar other than Isaiah Thomas, certainly no one on the Durant-LeBron level, but they're fun to watch. So, it's different to be on the championship level and to just be competitive, but I think it's good for the league in a way that out of the 30 teams now, Steve, I think you have at least 15, maybe closer to 20, that night in, night out, they put out competitive products. And some of them are very, very young and obviously have very, very high ceilings. Like Minnesota's a team that, they haven't won a lot of games over the last couple of years, but the ceiling is so high for them because of the young talent that they have assembled. So I think you have to look at the league as a sum of its parts right now, as opposed to just individual teams and dwelling on the fact that, Philadelphia and Sacramento and the Lakers are not competitive right now. Because throughout the league, night in, night out, there is very good basketball being played.
Mike, have you had a chance to go up to SunTrust Park? And if you have, what do you think of it?
I have. It is a much more intimate ballpark than Turner Field, which the Braves left. Reminds me a lot of what they tried to do in Pittsburgh, Steve. The pitch of the seats is a lot steeper than what the Braves had downtown. So you feel like you're a lot closer to the field, even if you are in the upper deck. And they reduced the seating capacity to about 40,000. I know the Braves are probably not thrilled with the attendance that they've had to this point of the season, because whenever you open a new ballpark, you hope that there's going to be a massive increase in attendance as a result. And the Braves have just not had the product on the field, nor have they figured out some traffic and parking problems. And I think that's discouraged a lot of fans from coming up to the ballpark. It's a very visually attractive ballpark. They did a nice job with it. I'm sure they'll grow into it quite nicely.
Well, then that's an absolute crown jewel, and that's going to be the Mercedes-Benz Dome downtown. You've been taking frequent tours of it. In the end, how nice is this going to be?
It's going to be very, very different. When they open it up on August the 26th for the Falcons preseason game against Arizona, the people in the stadium and the people watching on TV are going to see something very, very unique. And I kind of thought when Jerry Jones opened up his stadium in Dallas about a decade ago, that was a stadium we had never really quite seen before, with the center hung scoreboard and the retractable roof and just how big it was and how tall it was. Well, this is going to be different in another way. It's going to, the geometry of the stadium is going to look very unusual. It's almost going to look like a bird's nest. If you think back to the stadium that they used in Beijing for the Olympics, kind of has that visual look to it. The scoreboard is totally different, never been tried before. Instead of being a center hung scoreboard like they have in Dallas. It's going to be a halo surrounding the field but suspended above the field.
Oh.
And then you have the retractable roof, but it doesn't open in the same way that, say, the Toronto Blue Jays retractable roof opens, or what they have in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Field or in Dallas. It's going to open almost like a pinwheel. Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, who put more than $1 billion of his own money into the stadium, wanted a showpiece that would look unique and be distinct and really set Atlanta apart when the city hosts the big events like the Super Bowl and College Football Championship. I think you'll see when it opens come August and September, when the games are really televised nationally, it's going to look like something that's never been tried before in stadiums.
Well, it sounds incredible. In your opinion, I mean, we're not going to find out until they actually play, but mentally, the team that you're around all the time, the Falcons, how do you think they've handled the offseason?
Well, I think they're tired of talking about the Super Bowl, and you know, they've said as much, and that they're really trying to turn the page and concentrate on 2017 and doing what they need to do to get back to the Super Bowl and take care of the business that they did not finish this past February in Houston. They really made a point in the draft to improve the depth on their defense and not run into the same problem that they had in the Super Bowl, where the defense got tired because they had been on the field for 45 minutes and they basically ran out of gas and they had no chance to stop New England once it got to overtime. So they were very careful to draft Pat McKinley out of UCLA, a guy who may have fallen to them a little bit because he had some injury problems, but now they have a piece on the opposite side of Vic Beasley, the NFL sack champion on the defensive line. That should help. They're really high on Duke Riley, who they're adding to the linebacker mix out of LSU. Jack Crawford's a Falcon now. I know they're really excited about that, the former Penn Stater. This offense is going to get its points, Steve. I mean, nothing really has changed there. Julio Jones had offseason surgery, and he's not going to be back until training camp. But you had an offense that produced at historic levels last year. The new offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, made it a point to say that when he came in, he wasn't going to change anything drastic. He was going to keep the Kyle Shanahan system in place because it worked. So the offense should be able to pick up where they left off. But I'll be very curious to see. This is still a very, very young, inexperienced defense. How big of a jump can they make from last year, where they were, you know, pretty good, 15th in the league, to this year, where they really need to have a top 10 defense to have a legitimate shot at winning the Super Bowl?
What kind of feel do you have for Steve Sarkisian?
You know, one thing about Sark is he's been extremely open and willing to talk about what caused him to be fired from USC, which I think is brave of him, the fact that he's willing to embrace that he had an alcohol problem. He had a problem that he's dealing with. He says he continues to deal with it. I find that honest and brave that he's willing to talk about that openly. The unanimous word that we're getting from Falcons players is that Steve Sarkisian is a player's coach. And in the NFL, when you have an offense that's working well, that's probably a good thing. You know, for Matt Ryan, this is his fourth different offensive coordinator in 10 years, so this is nothing new to him. But the impression that we've gotten, and the team opened a three-day minicamp today, but just through OTAs and through some of the off-season work they've been doing, when we've had a chance to talk to Matt Ryan and some of the players on this offense, is that it's more Sarkisian learning from them than the players learning from him at this point.
I know there's something you have to get to at 2:15. I will not keep you any longer, my friend. Thank you so much for the time.
Steve, anytime. Pleasure talking with you as always.
Mike Conti, Falcons and Hawks Radio Network. We'll come back with more in a moment. Steve Mears, the new play-by-play voice on television for the Penguins, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Were you forced to watch this high school game tape?
Or did you mean the Rudy video?
Yeah.
He thought he sent it to me. He thought he texted me a link to it, but I did not receive it. He goes, well, I could have sworn I sent it to you. I'm good. Then I kept looking at my phone for like the next half an hour. Wait, oh, he's going to send that to me here. It's going to be. It's coming. It's going to get here.
I don't have Dropbox.
I don't.
Yeah, I've got that in my phone too because we use Dropbox here at the station. When I get game notes, like when Steve Williams, he'll send me game notes and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's an easy way to share notes. And then I got bullet points for game night and all that stuff.
Hey, when you do game night, for example, I've heard you do game night, but how much work do you do just to be up on the names and the key players of people in the area to do the show right?
Well, obviously, I mean, I'll check with Todd Hummel, and I'll get with all of our announcers and check on pronunciations and that kind of thing, and especially with being in studio with producing Seals Grove Seals, I can easily get Pat, Ryan, or Zach a call, and we all at least touch base once in August, not just at the fall sports kickoff party, but we just touch base and kind of get a vibe as to how the season's going to break and it's good. I'll network with all the play-by-play guys just to check on names and that kind of thing. So,
I mean, that's tougher than what we do. I mean, it's like, hey, what do you think of JT Barrett? JT Barrett's a nationally known guy. I mean, Sam Darnold, I saw him in the Rose Bowl. I mean, I already knew a whole bunch about him. He's a nationally known guy as opposed to, a running back for Milton or Danville or something like that. I mean, I just feel that what I do is easier because, I mean, that's Urban Meyer over there.
Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah, we'll see how this season breaks out. Lewisburg has a new coach this year. Milton has a new head coach. Milton's quarterback, he's going to be a junior, Phil Davis. Phil Davis's father will be the head coach for the Black Panthers this fall. So hopefully those teams that have been dealing with numbers, hopefully they'll get those numbers up. And we're starting to hear some information on some 7-on-7 camps. And they're going to be cranking up here over the next few weeks.
Yeah, they will be. It's going to happen. Without question. I mean, was it June to the 13th right now?
Yes.
So season will probably begin, August 26th?
Yes, the last Friday. Yep, last
25th?
Last Friday
August
in 25? August. Yes, that'll be the first.
So, so August 25, so you're talking, that's 56 days with July, and plus 17? Right, because 17 days left in June?
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking, 73 days to the start of the high school football season? Right? So it's 31 days, 25. Yeah. Right? So it's 56, right? And then plus 17 is 83. It is 73 days. We got 73 days for the first high school football game.
Commencement.
73 days.
Oh, and commencements just happened within the last week and a half across the valley.
I mean, you and I just got over buying tissues for the Rudy film. But our tears were for a different reason. Turn it off.
But it is interesting how each game night falls into place. Every Friday night, it has a completely different feel and vibe just to how's the chronological order as to how all the games wrap up and getting all the highlights from all the other games that we have running with Shikellamy, Lewisburg, and Milton. So and just it's kind of controlled chaos, kind of putting all the highlights in order. And, that was an exciting game. Okay, we're going to put that toward the ends and build the show up a little bit.
You are a star, by the way, on Saturday.
Oh, I don't know about that. No.
No. Kevin wanted to meet you. And, of course, everybody else at the table were listening to you as they drove in on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Then my good friend, Gary Goloszewski, he drives back and forth from here down to Philly all the time. He listens to the show all the time. He says, "So that's Sean." I said, "Yeah." I mean, you created quite a vibe in the room.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah.
You know what I wasn't asked about? I'll give you one guess.
Okay.
Go ahead, I'll give you one guess.
The suit.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. It's not funny.
Let's see. That took a year and 3 months. We have officially supplanted the suit.
No, but but I went around table to table and says, is anybody here interested in digital media? Thought I'd give it a shot.
One of the guys at the table did ask me, who is the suit? So we figured.
Oh, really? Somebody did ask?
Yep, one did. One did.
And the reaction? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We ended up out in the lobby at the bar. Yeah.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.